You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to the William Hill US Sports Podcast, looking ahead to week 6 of the NFL season. We've got 5 televised games to go at once again this week, because we've got another game in the London series which takes place a little bit earlier than usual. It's around about a 2:30 start time on a Sunday afternoon for the divisional game between the Panthers and the Bucks, and we've got all the usual televised action as well past that one. Looking forward to this week. Joining me once again from the William Hill trading floor is Stephen Back. How are you, Stephen?
Very well.
Good. Looking forward to the week 6 matchups. We've obviously gone through sort of a quarter of the season now. You take from the early part of the season?
I think it's a case of a few teams we took for granted in terms of their schedules, because there are so many bad teams in the NFL. There are the teams now we're realizing are not as good as first advertised, i.e. the Dallas Cowboys, and potentially, well, the Browns that were advertised as advertised, yep, and not turned out as advertised. And there's a few teams we still have to find out, which we'll get onto later on, because they have also been facing the bad teams. So it's now getting to the real test.
Yeah, we need to talk to trading standards with a couple of these teams, because as you say, they are not as advertised. we were promised a different Cleveland Browns.
And integrity will have to be involved.
Absolutely. And we're going to start with the game taking place in London, first of all. Once again, we're back at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which hosted the Oakland Raiders and Chicago Bears last week. This is a 2:30 start time. A divisional game as well. Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are the quote-unquote home side. Albeit they're obviously both on the road. 10-13 for the Panthers, and the Bucks are 11-10. A 2.5-point spread here. The Panthers -2.5 is 10-11. The Bucks +2.5 is 10-11. Obviously, divisional opponents. They'll meet each other twice during the course of the season. These two met in week 2 when the Bucks came out on top. And I suppose the narrative in this game is going to be all about Christian McCaffrey against the Tampa Bay rushing D, because both have covered themselves with credit so far this season. McCaffrey's having an incredible year, probably. At this stage, he'd be an MVP candidate. But he is up against a Bucks rushing D that's quite good. That's sure to be the key battle in this one.
It will, and I think also the fact that it's not just the rush game that McCaffrey's dominated. He literally is becoming just the Panthers' offense in general.
Yeah.
In the last game, they beat the Jags 34-27. The Panthers had 445 total yards of offense. McCaffrey accounted for 285 of them. In terms of the total yards from scrimmage, rushing, he had 176 yards, and he had 61 receiving yards as well. 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns and receiving. So it literally is a one-man offense, and it seems that at the minute, no one's quite cracked the code as to how to stop it. It helps when he's got a competent quarterback to feed him the ball as well. Obviously, the next question that's going to come along in a couple of weeks is what's going to happen with Cam Newton. Are they going to filter him straight back into the team when he's fit? Or are they going to continue with Keenan Allen until such a time when it all goes pear-shaped? But, as you are right, it is a case of how far can McCaffrey take them in this game? That one, 3 in a row, they're back into the conversation. Obviously, both sides are trailing the Saints in the division. But it'd be an interesting matchup. Obviously, both teams are looking for the first win in London. First time the Panthers have ever played in London. And the Buccaneers have played twice before in 2009, 2011, lost on both occasions, so both looking for the first win on foreign soil.
I quite fancy just having a little go at the Bucks here myself. We spoke sort of last week about teams that we're generally reluctant to bet on, and I have to say both of these teams kind of come into that category, but for me, there's no more wildcard team than the Bucks. You don't really know what you're going to get from them, and as a result, I can't back them when they're favourites. But the fact that they've beaten the Panthers once before, and the fact that, as you said, they are so reliant on McCaffrey, who is going to play this week, but obviously landed on his back in the end zone last week, and that's caused him a little bit of trouble. If he was to be ruled out of any portion of this game, the pendulum would swing massively for me. That's a lot of pressure on one player. So as a result, I think the Bucks are a solid option this week, +2.5.
I think they are. The thing we talked about this a few weeks ago is how Jameis Winston, he's evolving. He's actually having the best year of his career so far. He's had, last week, admittedly, the Saints secondary shut down his best option in Mike Evans. He had 0 receptions, yep, on the day. But he's not being that erratic Winston that we used to just slinging the ball everywhere, throwing interceptions. I mean, this year he's had 11 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, but 3 of those picks were in week 1. So since then, he's been very consistent. He's got a career-high 97.2 passer rating. So it's not that... Well, I'm trying to think of the word. He's not as worrying to bet on. It's not as unreliable as what it has been. You don't know what you're going to get from him. He's becoming a lot more consistent, and that number one pick worthy title that he was a few years ago. So I think you're right in the idea that the Buccaneers probably are the pick, because it all relies on McCaffrey in that one option. But the other option, I think, is to go for the over on this game.
Okay, the line is set at 47.5. I think good for the Bucs as well that Chris Godwin had such a big week last week, because it now gives the Carolina D something else to think about. It's not all about, if you just bottle up Mike Evans and focus all your attention on Mike Evans, you're still going to get burned, because they've got another wide receiver that can cause you problems. So him having a big week last week is going to give them plenty to think about on defense. And yeah, these are two offenses that are very capable of putting points on the board.
Definitely. I mean, Mike Evans is that all-round receiver option where you can have him all over the park, whereas Godwin is that speedster long ball threat, which they weren't able to contain last week. But can they contain both? It's going to be hard to do.
Fingers crossed we see a few points put on the board then in the London game this week. On to the televised match of the 6 o'clock games, and this always looked the pick of the games on paper. No surprises to see that they've gone for this one. Houston Texans are at the Kansas City Chiefs. 9-5 for the Texans, 10-21 about the Chiefs. A 4-point spread here. -4 for the Chiefs is 10-11, +4 for the Texans is 10-11. A flat 55 for the point spread, 10-11 over and under. That's pretty high, but I still feel like this is going to be a shootout, and plenty of people are really looking forward to the matchup of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, two of the league's leading young quarterbacks.
Indeed, but the worrying thing is for me is the state of Patrick Mahomes and that ankle. I mean, we've seen the line shortened dramatically, even from when the game was happening. So the line for this game was actually released during the late night game on Sunday, and even while I was in the office and we were doing trading this. And when Mahomes' ankle, it got trod in the ankle a second time, we were even seeing bets for this game coming in on the Texans. So the line opened at 8.5.
Wow.
The Chiefs laying 8.5, and it's come all the way down to the Chiefs at 4. So people really do fancy the Texans because they're worried about Patrick Mahomes' ankle and also the state of the team. Obviously, Sammy Watkins went out early in the game. Hopefully, he will have Tyreek Hill back for this week. Sammy Watkins is another doubt. So he's losing all his weapons. So we don't know what the state of him's going to be, because if he's got no mobility in the pocket, that is his greatest weapon. I mean, we saw the only touchdown he got last week was a fantastic effort where he was scrambling all over the place, sidearms it to Byron Pringle, and that's what he feasts off of. But if he can't move in the pocket, and his offensive line is just getting worse and worse, injuries are happening, so the pressure's getting to him, how is he going to cope? So I think a lot of people are backing the Texans at the minute.
Do you think the line has moved so far now that the Chiefs are maybe a bet? Because I know a lot of people will see a line that moves in this direction and you think, oh, hang on a minute, the Chiefs are only giving up 4 points. When a week ago, it was more than a touchdown.
Potentially. I think a lot of people are just fancying the Texans to win straight up.
Okay.
I mean, last week, we saw for the first time, Deshaun Watson was not sacked in his career. So we can see that the Texans' offensive line is getting better, and he's got all those options. I mean, D-Hop didn't have that bigger game last week. He obviously just found Will Fuller in the end zone because he was a man, as he said in his press conference, was open. So he's got the ability and the weapons to take down the Chiefs altogether. And we've seen, I think, from what we saw last week against the Colts, we've seen the recipe to beat the Chiefs now.
Yeah.
Which is control the run game, just run it down the throats and limit the amount of time the Chiefs have on the ball. So if the Texans can do that, they've got capable running backs in Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson to control that game. But then we've got the deep threats in D-Hop and Will Fuller. So, it, like you said, it could well be a shootout, but then again, we predicted a shootout in the Colts-Chiefs game. So it could be another, hopefully it's not another damp squib, but we see an entertaining game. But like you said, the Chiefs at -4 is a lot more enticing to me now than it was at -8.5. So I think as a result of that line moving in towards the Texans, I think the Chiefs are a lot more viable option. And also on the money line, they're now 10-21. So it's not a short price banker anymore. It's something you can put a bet on and feel like you can put it in with something else.
Okay. I'm going to sit with overs on the points, I think, in this one, even though I think that line's very high.
Yeah, the only other worry is the fact that now they've got to contend with JJ Watt, which is going to be worrying for Patrick Mahomes, because he didn't even have that option. He didn't have that threat last week against the Colts.
On to the 9 o'clock game this week, then, or 9.05 UK time, which is the San Francisco 49ers against the Los Angeles Rams. Another divisional matchup, 29-20 for the Niners. The Rams are at 20-33. A three-point spread here, -3 for the Rams, 20-23, and +3 for the Niners is 20-21. 50.5 is the point spread here, 10-11 over and under. Of course, the Niners coming into week six, one of only two remaining unbeaten teams in the NFL, the others being the Patriots. And I guess for the Niners, it was a statement win on Monday Night Football last week against the Browns, because prior to that, they were 3-0 and they'd had a bye week, but they'd beaten the Bucks, the Bengals and the Steelers, which, you know, isn't a massively good roll of honour. And even though the Browns have been inconsistent, that felt like a big week for the Niners last week. And I think they'd gone from people saying, well, yeah, they're unbeaten, but they've had an easy schedule, to now maybe one or two people are thinking, oh, is there something about this Niners side? And they come up against a Rams defence that is a shadow of its former self, really. They are not the force they were on defence that they were a year ago.
They were, but I also still think the Niners belong in that category of, are we sure they are a good team?
Right, okay.
This is the team I was talking about when we opened up the podcast, because we don't know if they are a good team, because the Browns have been so inconsistent. You can catch them on a day when they go hell for leather and they're amazing, and then we get what we had on Monday Night Football, which was atrocious. So this is the first real test of them, but as much as it is the first real test for the Niners, this is a bigger game for the Rams, in my opinion, because if they lose this...
It's pretty much must win already for the Rams.
It is, because if they lose this, then they can almost kiss the division goodbye, and that's going to be a tough road to get in via the wild card in the NFC, because there are so many good sides. So this, for me, is a very big game for the Rams, and it's... I know it is, we have said on their defense, it's not the same as it was last year, but in the same way that the Niners didn't really have much trouble, especially Jimmy G, from the pass rush game from the Browns on Monday Night Football. Yeah. Matt Breida was able to do what he wanted, whereas they do have at least some options, some better pass rushers on the Rams. Obviously, they've got the best in the business from Aaron Donald. Yeah. So it could be interesting. The line opened for this one at the Rams -4.5.
Yeah.
So it's coming a bit because people are fancying the undefeated 49ers. But personally, I think the Rams are going to cover this one and win, covering the -3, because it is such a big game for them in the division. I mean, when we look at the divisional odds for this, the Rams are slight favourites over the 49ers, but if we see this flip, if we see the 49ers win, this will flip massively. So that at the moment, the divisional odds are the Rams 29-20, the 49ers are 31-20 in second, and the Seahawks are 9-4 as the outsiders.
Okay.
But even then, they're still a bet, because the Seahawks obviously beat the Rams in Thursday Night Football last week.
Yeah.
And they've been a very entertaining team, led by Russell Wilson, who arguably for some
he's been unbelievable. So
he's
far.
Been the front runner for MVP. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't do MVP betting in play because it's such a subjective market and it's hard to quantify. But the Rams favoring in division is an interesting bet. So if you wanted to get on the Niners, now is the time to do it, because if they win this game, they will plummet down in price. But for me, it is the Rams -3, but the only other option for me is the over, because I just see this as a shootout. Lines already raised up. It opened at 48.5 as well, moving up to 50, because people think this is going to be a shootout, and it should be an entertaining game. Because, I mean, Jared Goff has provided the offense the last few games. They just haven't been able to win. He's had over 900 passing yards in the last two games.
Yeah. I'm going to take you on in this one. I'm going to go for the Niners getting 3 points on the spread. Todd Gurley likely to miss out for the Rams as well, and Brandon Cooks is questionable, so there's slight worries about their offense, and I'm more worried as every week goes by with the Rams. So I'm gonna chance the Niners +3.
Well, when I say it's a good team, this is the first winning team the Niners have faced all season.
Right. Okay.
So it's the first team they've faced that have a record over 500.
Okay.
Because the Browns were only they were 2-2 at the time when they played, so they haven't played a winning team yet.
It should be a good acid test then for Jimmy G and the Niners. On to the primetime game on Sunday, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the LA Chargers. 49-20 for the Steelers, 10-29 for the Chargers, 6.5-point spread here. -6.5 for the Chargers is 10-11, and +6.5 for Pittsburgh is 10-11. 41.5 is the point spread here, 10-11 over and under. I was big on the Chargers to beat Denver last week. They obviously got beat, but this looks a good bounce back opportunity for them, because the Steelers are obviously without Ben Roethlisberger for the season. They're now without Mason Rudolph as well. If they get any more injuries at QB, you or me will be getting a call up for the Steelers. So they're down to the third string QB now, and when you're going on the road with the third string QB and the other team are only They only need to win by a touchdown to cover the spread. Feels like a good bounce back week for me for the Chargers, even though they were disappointing against Denver last week.
They were extremely disappointing against Denver, but I think you are right. And the fact that I think the telling thing for this is when the Steelers played last week against the Ravens, they lost in overtime, and it's the first time, I think, since they changed the new overtime rules that a coach has deferred the kick on open up overtime because he has that little faith in his third-string quarterback, Devlin Hodges.
Yeah.
So I think you have to go for the Chargers -6.5 to cover this one. I'd probably take the under as well because I can't see this being an entertaining game. I mean, the Chargers last week against the Broncos was a dire watch. Because neither team, well, we know what the Broncos are like. They had a few lucky passes that went in. After that, it was just diabolical to watch. The Chargers didn't even get an offensive touchdown last week. Their only touchdown came from a 65-yard punt return. So I think this will be the week that they try and get on track. But this is another team where we thought the Chargers were, they obviously got into the playoffs last year. They had a good year. But is Philip Rivers, is he finally reaching the end of his, well, he's gone over the hill now and we're seeing the decline. And it's sort of the end of that, another one of that 2004 draft class where we're seeing the end of it. So I think that the Chargers are probably going to cover this, the 6.5.
Another week on for Melvin Gordon as well, another week full of practice. Obviously, he missed a lot of the start of the season. You've got to imagine he's only going to get fitter and sharper as the season progresses.
Definitely. Last week, he only had 31 yards on 12 carries. So he was shut down effectively, but how much of that was rust, how much of that was the Broncos defense, it's hard to tell. But like you said, he'll be looking for a big bounce back game because he's looking for his first real showing of the season. Just looking at the touchdown scorers now, as you've just flicked through, and any time he's even money.
Yeah, I think that's all right as well. I'll tell you who I also think is an all right bet in this game, and that's James Conner. Even though I think the Chargers are going to win and cover, I don't think they necessarily shut out Pittsburgh. And when you're down to the third string QB and you've got a workhorse running back anyway, I mean, James Conner's going to have to carry so much of this offense now, you would have thought. And he's bound to have the ball in his hands plenty. He seems the most likely option for a Steelers touchdown. And I don't think even money's too bad. I thought he might be a bit shorter, given that the ball's going to be in his hands a lot, surely.
Well, the issue is as well, they haven't got Jalen Samuels who's out there back up. So if you wanted an outside shot, Benny Snell, who's a rookie out of Kentucky, 10-1 any time. He'll be getting a few carries in this game. Behind James Conner, who will have his obvious rest in certain sets.
Yes, I like that. Let's go on to the Monday night game then. This is another divisional matchup. We've got plenty of them this week. NFC North meeting between the Lions and the Green Bay Packers. It's 9-5 for the Lions, 10-21 for the Packers. This is at Lambeau, by the way. A 4-point spread, -4 for Green Bay is 10-11, +4 for the Lions is 10-11. And the points here set at 45 over is 10-11 and under is 10-11 as well. Now, the Lions are coming into this off the back of a bye week. They ran the Chiefs very, very close the week before their bye in week 4. Now the Colts have gone and beat the Chiefs. That performance from the Lions maybe doesn't look quite as good as it did. But they've shown themselves to be a reasonably competent unit, the Lions, against the Packers team who beat Dallas last week, but obviously were beaten by Philly the week before. The top of the division, they've got a 4-1 record, but I'm still kind of not that certain about the Packers this year. I don't really know where I stand on them, despite the fact that the top of the division, they're 4-1, and they look good beating the Cowboys last week. I just have a bit of trepidation about them still.
This is a wide open division, Aspie says. Even Lions, so I've got the odds for the division. So the Packers are 11-10 favourites. You then got the Vikings at 13-5 second. The Bears are 3-1. And the Lions, who are still second in the division at the minute, are 8-1 to win the division. So it's anybody's game at the moment. But they haven't, I think what's been more impressive for the Lions is their defense. I mean, they've managed to move the ball. Matt Stafford has done very well this season in moving the ball for the Lions, but how they managed to keep the Chiefs quiet and keep themselves in the game was a phenomenal effort. Obviously, they're coming off the bye week, so they're well-rested. They've got their injuries back. So I wouldn't be surprised if the only issue for them is how they're going to contend with the Packers and which Packers offense is going to turn up. Because obviously, 2 weeks ago, we were lamenting the fact that they weren't running the ball and they couldn't run the ball. And then what happens?
They answered that with Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones had the game of his life with four rushing touchdowns. And Aaron Rodgers didn't have to do a lot. He had 238 yards, obviously no picks, no touchdowns. He just handed the ball off to Jones and they were able to control the game against the Cowboys, of which we're now saying, is the Cowboys a good, bad team or a bad, good team? We don't really know. So it'll be an interesting game for it, but I personally think the Lions will cover this. So cover the 4 because it's moved in from Packers -5.5 is how it opened. Both teams have fared very well, so they've gone, they've got a winning record against the spread as well this season. So the Lions are 3-1 in their four games. The Packers are 4-1 against the spread in this game. So both teams will be interesting. The only other bet I'd go with is probably the over, because I think it'll be an interesting game. The last seven between these two games, the over 6-1, and also the last four between these two, the Lions have gone 4-0 against the spread. Okay. Last year when they played, they won twice. They won 31-0 at Green Bay. The Lions won last year. Obviously, I think Aaron Rodgers was out for that game, so take that result with a pinch of salt. The other game is 31-23 in Detroit. But I think the Lions win this and make a claim for the NFC North as well.
+4, incidentally, is my bet on this game as well for the Lions. Worth pointing out as well, they were without number one corner Darius Slay in that close one against Kansas City. So with him coming back, a defense that did very well against one of the leading offenses is only going to get better.
Exactly.
As you say, off the back of the bye week, some players have come back. Touchdown bet as well in this one for me. I mentioned last week the Green Bay run defense, albeit that it's been a decent passing defense this year, concerned me. Thought Zeke Elliott would get a touchdown last week. He did. So Kerryon Johnson looks a bet for me this week. I'm still not convinced about that rushing defense of Green Bay, and the Lions finally, after years without having a proper really good running back, have got one now in the shape of Kerryon Johnson. So he could find the end zone as well for me, I think, this week.
Definitely. We haven't got a touchdown scorer's price up yet, but the only other, if you want another futures bet for this, the Lions are 2-1 to make the playoffs. So that's regardless of if they win, get in via the wild card or win division. 2-1 is a good price, and it's one of the bigger prices you're going to find for a team that's still competitive and in the hunt right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're one of the teams that have surprised us a little bit so far, the Lions. Not too many expected that they'd be in this position. In terms of other bets then, anything else that catches the eye this week?
Unfortunately not. The only other one that catches my eye is the Cardinals-Falcons game. Again, last week I did pick out probably the worst game on the slate and said that Cardinals were going to get the first win. I was right. It's not often that I can say that on this podcast, unfortunately. But I think, again, the Cardinals are at home to the Falcons and are 2.5-point dogs. So the Falcons are laying 2.5 at 10-11. So I think the Cardinals are a shout just to even win this straight up 6-5 on the money line. In terms of other bets on the slate,
I love the overs in that game, by the way.
Yes,
Falcons and the Cardinals, 51.5. But I really think that will be, well, I think there'll be a few games that are high scoring this week. That one for me is the one with the most potential.
That is a good shout. And the other game for me, if you want another underdog to win on the road, is New Orleans Saints are going to Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like,
obviously, they haven't got Drew Brees back yet, but they showed last week that even Teddy Bridgewater, who got into a good groove and had 300 yards, can do the business. I mean, we talked about last week the road teams have done, and the underdogs have done very well this season. We've got another updated stat on your road and underdog teams. So against the spread this season, the road team is 48-29-1 against the spread, and the road dogs are 34-17-1.
Okay.
Of which then your favourites against the spread are only 31-46-1. So it's a case of the road teams have prevailed very well, although admittedly there's been a lot of bad teams. So you've got like the Dolphins, the Redskins have played a fair number of games at home, the Jets. But I think this is the week to go for a few more underdogs. In terms of the Saints, I think will win another price at 6-5, 2.5-point spread. And the Cardinals, who are at home as well.
Yeah, I'll chuck in another dog as well that I think will win this week. Another road team as well, Tennessee Titans. They get 1.5 points against Denver. I was against Denver last week, and they obviously beat the Chargers, but still not really convinced Joe Flacco leading that offense. And I think the Titans probably should be favs in that. So I think the fact that they get a 1.5-point start, which was as big as 2.5 a few days ago, I think they're a decent bet this week. But as you say, it could be one for backing a few underdogs, particularly on the road. You mentioned the Redskins and Miami. They actually meet each other this week in what's being dubbed the Tua Bowl, because these two teams are maybe in tank mode now to try and get Tua next year.
And the fact that it is literally Jay Gruden's now been fired for the Redskins, so that is more opportunity, I think, for the Skins to try and come out and show that they are a competent franchise. But if you want a decent price for a team to win straight up, the best price I think you're going to get for an underdog is the Dolphins at 7-4. It's 3.5-point spread, so obviously they've got the 3.5. But I think there's a chance that the Dolphins win this game, because Rosen's been improving despite the fact that the Dolphins are going nowhere. So it could be a chance for him to show himself against one of the equally worst teams in the NFL. So I wouldn't be tuning into this game. If you've got Red Zone, I think you just use Red Zone for this and just watch what happens in it. But Dolphins have a chance. So basically, I think whoever legitimately loses this game has a very real chance of going 0-16. So it will be the loser of this. It will be probably winning the race for Tua.
Yes. I'm not even sure too many Washington or Miami fans are going to be watching that one. That about wraps up week six. We'll be back, of course, for week seven. Thank you for that, Stephen, and good luck with the picks.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.